Today is a special day for our parish at St. Peter that we celebrate our parish feast day, the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul. And this is one of those feast days that because this is our parish, our parochial feast day, we can celebrate this feast every year on this whichever Sunday is closest to June 29th. But even internationally throughout the whole world, this feast day, the Peter and Paul, it trumps the feast of a regular Sunday of ordinary time. And so throughout the entire world, everywhere you go, they are celebrating the Feast of St. Peter and Paul. And there's only very, very, very few saint feast days that would trump a regular Sunday. There are other celebrations, like last week we had Corpus Christi that trumps the regular Sunday, but there's not very many saint feast days that we celebrate the reading. We do the readings and we do the prayers and the responses and the collect and all, preface and all that kind of stuff is taken from the saint's feast day. I would ask the question, why does the church see this as such a big deal, big enough, worthwhile to raise it to the level one solemnity that it insists that internationally we celebrate this feast day today? And I think the answer to that question has to do with the nature of the church itself. Now, in the creed, we pray, we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Those are known as the four marks of the church. And any church that claims to be the church of Jesus and is lacking any one of those four, one holy Catholic or apostolic, if it's lacking, missing one of those, then it's not the church of God. It's not the church that Christ established. And we claim as the Catholic Church that we have all four of those marks in the Catholic Church. And at least according to Pope Benedict, the reason why this feast day in particular is internationally acclaimed or internationally ascribed is because this is a feast day of one of those four marks, one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And now, Peter and Paul are both apostles, so it would make sense if you logically thought, well, this must be a feast day of the apostolicity of the church. The fact that we can trace our roots back all the way from Pope Leo the 13th all the way back, you know, to Peter himself and the first pope. And that would be a reasonable assumption, but that's actually not what we celebrate today. That's not the main emphasis or the main thrust of what this feast day is celebrating. It's not apostolicity. Believe it or not, that feast day is a feast of the chair of St. Peter, and that happens later on in the year. This feast day, the Feast of St. Peter and Paul, is the feast day of the Catholic nature of the church. Catholicity, meaning universal. Because, and there's a reason for that, that it's Peter and Paul, not just Peter. It's not just Peter's feast day, even though we emphasize Peter at St. Peter because he's our patron, but it's Peter and Paul. Now, if you know much about the New Testament, you know Peter and Paul, they weren't besties. They didn't go fishing on the weekends. They didn't know each other all that well. They only met each other a couple of times. And St. Paul kind of elaborates on that a little bit, that he met Peter. Peter was the only apostle that Paul had known or was acquainted with. And he spent 15 days learning from Peter, but they didn't spend a whole lot of time together. And as a matter of fact, they kind of had different emphases of what they their focus was in terms of evangelization and the mission. And there's one point where St. Paul actually corrected St. Peter and said, hey, you're living a double standard. You're telling all the Jews the Jews that they need to keep practicing the faith of circumcision and all this kind of stuff. But you're not even doing it yourself. And so Paul called out Peter for this double standard. And Peter, you know, Peter's like, you know what, Paul, you're right. I need to be corrected on this, and so that's where some of the old Jewish laws of the Old Testament have why we don't follow a lot of that was actually largely due to Paul's influence. But in the letter to Galatians, Paul himself says Peter was entrusted with a message for the Jews, And Peter emphasized and started, you know, he was the first of the apostles, and he emphasized the message of bringing the message to the Jews, even though he preached to Gentiles and stuff as well. But Paul, specifically, his message was to the Gentiles, and he went out and he founded all the churches that we read in the New Testament, that he wrote the letters to. And so Paul was very much the missionary out to the Gentiles. So between the message to the Jews and the message to the Gentiles, the understanding is we have a Catholic church. Now, for us today in 2025, We proclaim that we are a Catholic, meaning universal church. And so part of what that means is that you and I coming to Mass and celebrating the Eucharist here at St. Peter in Schulte, Kansas in 2025, that we are connected by the body of Christ to every other altar in the entire planet. And so there's something that unfortunately there's kind of been a philosophy or a movement in the United States that we tend to be very, very, very individualistic. And unfortunately, I think that's very pervasive among our Protestant brothers and sisters, where there's this sense of like, you know, I my church is my living room. You know, I'll read the Bible and I'll pray to God and I'll sit on my front porch and that's good enough. And I connect with the Lord and I don't need a church. I don't need to be connected with anybody else. It's just me and the Lord. But is that what the Lord asked of us back in when he was here walking the earth? Is that really what he said? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And so when we make this little individualistic me and God, or me and my very small community, and we set up these very, very high parameters, and it's just, we put our blinders on, and it's just us. We miss the nature of the church, which is Catholic, universal. And so that's honestly, that's why I insist at Mass. Why, have you noticed, for the Confiteor, the Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, I will use the Greek, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, because that is the universal language of the church in the Greek side of the Kyrie, and during Advent and Lent, why I believe it's very, very important for every Catholic to at least be familiar with the Latin parts of the Mass, you know, that specifically because we are Catholic, we are universal. And it's not just us in Kansas. It's not just American church. It's the church at large. It is the body of Christ. And if you never really travel, if you all you ever used to is Kansas or Wichita or the United States, it blows your mind. I remember the first time I went and traveled internationally. I went to the Holy Land, went to the Holy Sepulchre, I went to Nazareth and Bethlehem and all those places. And guess what? There are tourists from all over the planet. And they speak all kinds of different languages, whether it be Vietnamese or Mandarin or Swahili or whatever. And I can't sit there and have a conversation with somebody. But we would all come together and we would pray the Mass. And I knew exactly where they were, and they knew exactly where they were within the Mass, because we are Catholic. And so if we have this kind of sense of this individualism, this just me and God, and that's good enough, and I can pray and I can connect with God, we miss the whole missionary identity of the church. And so if you ask that person that, you know, I just want to stay home and pray to God, and I'm not knocking individual prayer. By all means, I'm all about it. But ask them, are you living out the missionary command of the Lord? Are you in the slums of Haiti? Are you in the slums of Calcutta? Are you teaching and educating the kids who are in villages in Africa? And the answer has to be no. I'm just looking out for me. But you and I, because we are Catholic, if somebody asks you, are you in the slums? Are you serving the poor in the mission in the slums of Haiti or of Calcutta or of Beijing? We can truly answer yes. Because we share in the body of Christ. Because it's the same thing of like, you know, a person running a marathon, and, you know, can the pinky claim to have won the marathon? The legs and the heart and the lungs and the feet, they did the running, but the pinky is part of the body. And therefore, the pinky crossed that finish line too. And we are all part of the body of Christ. And we do our part in our mission, and we carry that out principally in our own living rooms, in our own homes, in our own neighborhoods, in our workplaces. But we are the body of Christ. We are Catholic. That is what this feast day celebrates. It's a looking out. It's a recognition that really it's the world over that we belong to and are a part of. And so here in St. Peter, we have both. We have this is a very, very special celebration for us. It's our parish feast day. It's a major solemnity for us. And so we celebrate very, very locally here. But at the same time, we simultaneously look out to the rest of the world, and we see that we are Catholic, and we participate in the universal message of the Church. All of that boils down to these two founding apostles, Peter and Paul. Very different in their approach, very different in their style and their preferences and so on. Both of them broken. Both of them anything but perfect. Both of them messed up. Paul dragging Christians out in the street by their hair and killing them in front of their families. And Peter denying Christ at the very moment of his crucifixion. Getting it wrong at least as often as he got it right throughout the Gospels. And yet these are the men that the Lord has chosen to be the foundation cornerstones of his Church. And you and I, we lay the next layer on that living Church, the living stones of the Church of God, the Catholic Church. And so, even though we could probably be accused of have a black eye of some of the moments of the Church and the individuals of the Church who have done things that are not great, and we don't sweep that under the rug and ignore it. But if you want to accuse us of that, if you want to remind us and throw in our face the bad that has happened, which, again, we don't deny, but you also have to allow all the good that the Church has done. All the millions that have been fed and housed and educated, the hospitals that have been built, all of that, we can claim that. Even if we weren't the ones who laid the bricks. We are Catholic. St. Peter, St. Paul, apostles of the Church, missionaries and founding apostles, pray for us.